We begin with the Sufi invocation of Hazrat Nayak Khan. Towards the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. So for the next 2 days, and 2 days only, we'll be, for this class, I'll be leaving to return for another speaking engagement in Kansas City. These teachings are from Hazrat Nayak Khan's teachings, Sufi Message Volume 8, on health and on the order of the body and the mind. And before I begin, I want to say a few words, because this is, a delicate subject, which can be easily misunderstood. I don't want anyone to misunderstand the fact that illness should be in any way ever perceived as some sort of shortcoming or failing or punishment. The truth is that it can be a great blessing, and it can be a door opener to great realization. So I hope that that will become clear. I also know that while illness can remain and a cure may not happen, healing can happen just the same. So there's a world of difference. And I think sometimes people are confused by those two things. So I wanted to just say that as a caveat, so that if anyone in the room may be dealing with, any kind of illness, or someone you know or love, you know, or caring for has an illness, this isn't about a failing in their spirituality or understanding. It's a fact. As the Buddha said, we're born, we suffer illness, we have old age and death. Those are the four noble truths. But then he also teaches us that there is a way through that, and that's through mindfulness, meditation, and contemplation, that we come to realize that things are not from the denseness of the earth. They're of spirit, which is different. Same. As in India, they say, same, same, but different. Same, same, but different. In Murshid's words, let us see to it that our hearts and minds are tuned to the higher vibrations. Let us see to it that our hearts and minds are tuned to the higher vibrations. We could almost stop there, couldn't we? It's like, that's it. It's that tuning, attunement, the spirit of guidance. Let us see to it that our hearts and minds are tuned to the higher vibrations, so that only those things that are good, pure, holy, and of good rapport can enter and dwell there. It's like we have, the heart is the temple. And at that temple, there's a door. And at the door, there's a doorkeeper to kind of keep order. When you go to Hazrat Nayak Khan's Darga in India, it's exactly that. I mean, there aren't any keys. There's a door. It's unlocked. But there's a keeper who welcomes you and kind of makes sure that things stay in good order, and that one brings good intention into that sacred space. I also like to say about purity, I think that can be often a misunderstood word. My first journey to India, I was given this great gift. I was on the airplane, and I was traveling there, and I was reading a magazine, and there was this one line. I don't know what else was in the magazine. I don't know what kind of magazine it was from, but this one line I'll never forget. It's talking about the sacred river, Mother Ganga, the Ganges. It said, the mother is sacred and pure because of her acceptance of all. right? Because of her. And you know, it's like the dip in that river purifies you. And this is the river. We're in the river together, swimming here at this camp. And inshallah, again and again until the end of time. So again, this keeping to these vibrations, things that become unsettling, it's bound to happen in our life. But are we able to sort of right ourselves? You know, it's like the top that wobbles, and then all of a sudden it can start to spin again. You know, that's what it's about, keeping tuned to those vibrations. And even if a contrary vibration comes, how can one accommodate that and not be disturbed by it? Let us keep out the idle thoughts. I mean, how much goes on here, and how troubled are we by that? We can be tortured by our own thoughts and machinations, can't we? Mm-hmm. And what ifs, and oh, gee, I should have, you know. We want to be mindful of that. Let us keep out the idle thoughts, the unkind thoughts, the envious thoughts that come knocking at the door of the heart, and which, if we admit them, will result in speech and action and produce in our bodies illness, weakness, and weariness. Isn't it true? I mean, if we start to worry about something so much, we can become so fatigued from that. Have you experienced that, any of you?
Well, I do have a question about how you say admit it. Do you mean it?
Admit. Okay. Allow to go in.
That just, acknowledging that maybe this present is something that needs to be acknowledged that is present, that it could be allowed to leave. That's different than the admitting you're talking about.
Yeah. And then this is kind of part of, I hope people can see this as a continuum of some of the classes that we've dealt with regard to reflection and projection. Yeah. Mercia talks about that. You know, is this something that's contrary coming towards us? That's a projection. Or is it something that stimulated something from deep within us that's perhaps a reflection? Right? And the thing is, at one level, and this is the Vajrayana path, I don't even know if anyone here has studied that, but at the Vajrayana path in Buddhism, Tibetan Buddhism, it's kind of the, you know, sort of reaching the end of one's understanding or study. It's about the idea that it's not this or that, it's this and that. And there is always going to be, the idea is taking everything that arises and sort of seeing it as pure energy and using it for the benefit of all. So, okay, here's anger. Yeah, I recognize anger. I recognize it in myself. I recognize it coming at me. But at an ultimate level, it's energy. And I can transform that energy into love, for example. Does that make sense? Yeah? So it's not as if we have to react to it. You can just be very still in it. And it's not like we have to reject anything or pull anything towards us. I like, let us not be entertained by idle thoughts that Murshid tells us. What, in that space of thinking, what might we replace it with, the idle thinking? Love's a good answer. Anything else?
Prayer.
A mantra, also a prayer, yes. How beautiful is that? Instead of that, that's actually your meditation friend. It's like if you can catch it, it's like, whoa, I can do this, or I can do toward the one, toward the one, toward the one. Whatever your prayer is. It's calling to prayer. It's calling us to pray.
Sometimes sometimes I find if I'm just more mindful to what I'm actually doing rather than in the mind, I put my focus on what's present, the past that I'm doing, then those things kind of just drop away.
They do, and you know, I'm remembering very much, I received a letter from India today, so I'm feeling very close to my Rinpoche, Comtal Rinpoche, and yesterday Pierre Murshid Hidayat wrote me, so they're with us, they're so with us. But Rinpoche, you know, he is the kind of person, and you can see that if you're with someone that's present to every moment, like every gesture of even reaching for a piece of bread. And, you know, like, even when I see Rinpoche eat, I sometimes think it's as if he's never saw food before because he looks at it with this great curiosity, and then he lets it nurture him, you know. And he's very aware. I mean, one of the things that he's taught me, you know, again, idle thoughts. You know, he always talks about this space as being a mandala, and that we're like making an offering to the mandala. How beautiful is that? And even about when with our waste product, you know, when it comes out, we talk about, you know, there's certain beings, either seen or unseen, that actually thrive on that too. So he says, you know, when you flush the toilet, snap your fingers and make a prayer. Ram yam kam, ram yam kam. That everything we can become mindful of it. It's like you say, Halima, if we can only grasp this and then kind of extend that, right? Extend it, that mindfulness into everything. Thank you for bringing that up. He says, I'll go back one sentence. Let us keep out the idle thoughts, the unkind thoughts, the envious thoughts that come knocking at the door of the heart and which, if we admit them, let them in, will result in speech and action and produce in our bodies illness, weakness, weariness. Then when this happens, man, woman, in their ignorance of the true cause, goes to the doctor or surgeon who perhaps performs an operation, and often the patient may be no better but rather worse, for the real cause of the trouble is untouched. So I want it to be, I hope this is recording, but I do want to share this, you know, the beautiful practice of the elemental breaths. And I think I've talked about it before, you know, that I myself had something of a very concerned nature in my body. We've talked about it, I know, personally. And the doctors didn't want to even biopsy it because of the concern. And Murshida Vera said to me, can you ask them if you can wait at least 1 month for any kind of surgery? And I said, yes, I will ask the doctor. And the doctor said, you know, they had been monitoring, and they said, we can wait. And she said to me, I want you to do the elemental breaths. And I want you to focus at every element of your body. And I want you to reside in that particular element until you're absolutely sure that the vibration is absolutely clear. If there's any denseness or any wavering or any confusion of clarity in that element, you stay in that element before you go to the next element. And those elements, of course, starting at the most gross or base, dense element, is the earth element, it's the body. And the water element is our emotions. And the fire element are those things that we feel passionate about. And the air element is our mind. And the ether element is spirit. And she said to me, you must find at which point the disease began. And from that place, you work on finding a balance in that element. If you don't, They can cut it out. They can burn it out. They can poison it out. It will come back. Okay, so I know that there's some people that need this because it wasn't part of the program, and I'm usually pretty methodical. So, and there might be people, we record this for people that are at a distance from us. So let's take a moment. Shall we do those breaths together? Would you like to do that? I just want to remind you of these breaths. They're done in a number of different ways with a number of different sacred phrases or repetitions. I'm just going to talk you through the breath right now and let you feel them in the different parts of your body. The breaths are usually done in a cycle of five. Breathing in once and out once is one breath. And the first breath is the earth breath. And I may give the directions. That might be helpful because it might give you some feeling of that element within your body. As we breathe in the nose and out the nose, we think of this expanding horizontal line. So this great expanse. Breathing in the nose and out the nose. Feel your body. Let it come into ease and equipoise. Feel relaxed and open as the horizontal line, and it doesn't have to be a two-dimensional line. It can be multi-directional, 360 degrees and then some. In the nose and out the nose. Sometimes the phrase is given, Ya Shafi, Ya Kafi. Hazrat Anayat Khan himself did not give that phrase. He gave that to Shafiats and Kafiats, people that were working with the healing concentration, or he may have given it as a practice to a student. But the phrase he gave was, I inhale divine light and life. I radiate divine life and light. The next breath is the element of water. We breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. The direction is a downward motion, a gentle flowing downward motion. Think of this, those that have studied Eastern medicine know the various channels run through the bodies with liquids and drops and air. We're working with those subtle channels. So we breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. In through the nose and out through the mouth. This is the emotional body also. Put the intention of health and well-being in balance. Make that a prayer, an intention for your being, your emotional being. And then the next breath is often associated with fire, the very powerful element. It's transformative in the Vedic ceremony. It is the element between earth and heaven. We breathe in through the mouth and out through the nose. The motion is an ascent, a rising. We breathe in through the mouth and out through the nose. And this is the element that's associated with all of those passionate emotions, which are can be very beautiful and rarefied. They can also be somewhat toxic. And here the goal would be to offer them to the element of fire to transmute everything into light. It can be associated with emotions of anger or greed or envy, but here we can transform those into love and generosity and equanimity. And the next breath is the element of air, and this is the realm of mind, of creativity. One can use this breath almost like blowing the dust off of a mirror so that there's clarity. So the breath is in through the mouth and out through the mouth. All the breaths are done very full and gentle. Sometimes they're prescribed on a specific rhythm. But here, just for health, well-being, and balance, in through the mouth and out through the mouth. And the last breath is of the etheric element, and one can say that this is sort of the, I think of it like the beginningless time or the unceasing time, and it's this place of before things coalesce and come into their element. So it's the place of all potentiality, of all luminosity, sort of the great secret yet to be revealed, and it's through bringing it down to these various elements of our being that we manifest that. The breath is refined breath in through the nose and out through the nose. So a practice that we can work with, a wazaif, a wazifa, that goes along with this tuning of our hearts and our minds, putting mindfulness at the doorway of both the inner and the outer, the projection and the reflection. There's this beautiful wazifa, sacred name, called Rafi. Rafi. It sounds so pretty to me. I don't know anyone that has that name either. I know one man from Kashmir that's a friend of mine in Delhi, but no one in our spiritual communities have ever been given that name. It's a beautiful name, and it means the exalter, the uplifter, the one that draws us through spiritual stations to higher realization. And it also is the name that heals all the wounds that might prevent us from being uplifted. You know, we have those inner stories that maybe we at times tell ourselves that make us feel unworthy of something. This helps heal all of that so that you can be uplifted. Rafi. Rafi. So it's spelled R-A-F-I. The emphasis is on the ah, the first ra, ah. And I want to, if we could, let's do this practice together. And then sort of observe, do you feel something resonating or vibrating in particular in your body? And let's see what these wazifas do. I mean, they're living vibrations and they activate something in us. So let's be open to that. I like to say something about the recitation of the practice. The way it's often given is to say a practice 101 times. My Murshida, whenever she first gave me a practice, I had to say them a minimum of 501 times, sometimes 1,001 times. I think she thought I was a little hard-headed and I needed it to penetrate. But I've also read in esoteric teachings that that's a good practice. So think about, you know, when you're given a new practice by your teacher, it's such a gift, it's like a jewel, you know, and maybe the men can't relate to this, or maybe they can, but, you know, when my husband gives me a new piece of jewelry, I just want to look at it all the time and sleep with it and wake up and look at it. So it's like that. I mean, you know, oh, why, isn't it true? Like, oh, I can't wait to get up and put those earrings in. Okay, I'm in my night clothes and I'm cleaning the house, but I don't care, I'm wearing those cool earrings.
Some other toy, but we get it, Nerea.
Yeah, you get it. So that's the point, is that this, whenever you get these practices, they're like this precious, not a toy, but like a great gift, a secret that's been given to you. And so when, with great reverence, we always begin the wazifa with the ya, which is like, oh, beloved one, oh, dear one. And you're kind of invoking that name. You're activating that name. So we always say the first set of our practices with the word Yah before it. Then after we do that first set, we go into a whisper. It's a state of intimacy. And we whisper the name. And then ultimately we enter into a silent contemplation of the name. Okay?
Ya Rafi,
listen.
Ya Rafi.
We don't hang on to that E. We keep the ah. We let the E become a little shorter. It's correct in terms of the language.
Ya Rafi. Ya Rafi. Ya Rafi, Ya Rafi, Ya Rafi, Ya Rafi, Ya Rafi, Ya. Ya Rafi, Ya Rafi, Ya Rafi, Ya Rafi, Ya Rafi, Ya. Ya Rafi, Ya Rafi, Ya Rafi. Yarafi. 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 Yarafi.
Feeling being uplifted like the wings of the angel Raphael, the ultimate healer, Ravi. Any experiences that you had, any thoughts, any feelings that arose during the practice? And may I ask you, did you feel a difference when we Rafi, Rafi, instead of Rafi? It felt different, didn't it? How so? Beautiful. Thank you. Raheem and then New Orleans. Raheem?
I just felt a sense of power in the first.
Good. Good.
I may have missed it in the beginning because I couldn't hear it. But when with the three things we were chanting, what was the middle one?
We were saying Yah, and then we were saying the sacred word Rafi.
So what was the middle one?
Ra, R-A-A.
And what does that mean?
Well, Rafi, the word together, that's two syllables, Rafi. And Rafi is the sacred name for the one that uplifts us, the one that helps us overcome all prejudice, all opinion. It's the uplifter, the exalter.
And could you repeat the three again?
Yah, that's sort of the prefix, like okay. Beloved or dear one or sir, dear madam. And Rafi is the sacred word, the sacred wazifa.
Okay, I couldn't hear the first and the third, but every time the second one was mentioned, my baha would ring.
What's that mean?
I could hear it.
Oh, good.
So the middle one, the second one, I could hear it. The first and third, I couldn't.
Uh-huh.
But, and that's why I wanted to know what that
middle one was. Yeah, it's part of the whole. Okay. It was part of the whole. It was the first syllable of the sacred word, Rafi.
Okay.
But perhaps the elongation of that sound stimulated something, too.
Yeah.
Stephanie?
Now, when we first started, somewhere in there, anyway, somewhere when we started chanting, I feel and I get visions when I'm chanting.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes just playing music or hearing it. I have this a lot of white light and a lot of opening up and a lot of cool air, which is funny because we were talking about water earlier and I heat it up when we're doing the water part. The breathing is interesting. But we talked about balancing, maybe that was it. But during the chanting, it opened up and then it started opening on the energy centers in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself actually wanting to go quiet a lot sooner when you're whispering.
Uh-huh.
We were whispering, I just went quiet. And I thought, oh, you know, I guess I can't whisper to the whispering part now. When we finally did that, and I really went deep. The theme song from the movie Pet Sematary started playing.
I don't know what that is.
It's a really weird movie about, without giving all the details, I had a friend that...
But what's the song?
It's by the remote punk band. It's called Pet Sematary. It's about... Basically, the theme of the movie is this: it's a Stephen King movie.
Mm-hmm.
That their child is killed, and the mother, and then at first their pet is killed, and so they bury it in this pet cemetery. The cat comes back, mm-hmm. and everyone, and finally, it starts mounting, and then their child is killed, and so the mother has gone nuts with grief, and she insists that he bury the child there, and the child comes back. And you won't tell the rest of the story; it's awful. But it dealt with my own grief issues around.
Uh-huh.
A lot of
coming
up. So.
Oh, so that's good. It's a blessing then,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it's just interesting. I guess my guide spirit, some part of me has a big sense of humor. I get really weird stuff, but like theme songs and movies and chants and different things, you know, just whatever pops up. But, yeah, it's always helpful.
But as you were, it does, yeah. but I do believe that the spirit of guidance uses all those things and is constantly communicating to us that way, that we're getting all these clues. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be classified as special or weird or anything. It just is, right? And just accepting it and observing it and not clinging to it and not rejecting it, just being present to it. In these two areas?
Yeah.
Well, that's where secondary chakras are, so maybe it's just a release in that area.
Yeah, sometimes I get really cool. It used to be it was hot and then it was cooling, and lately it's like it's cooling and then like maybe it just goes deeper and then it gets hot.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. It might be compression of some kind.
Compression?
Maybe there's a pressure there that's wanting to be released and the hotness is from that. Harriet, or did Raheem, did you spoke? Harriet, did you have something you wanted?
Oh, sorry.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't
okay.
I needed to make a correction on something I said.
Yes.
When she was talking, I realized I didn't hear the first one. The middle one I did hear because it would ring in my baha. But I heard the other one, but it was just the sound, not the ringing.
Hmm.
So I wanted to correct what I said. I did hear two out of three, not one out.
Good.
But only one of them rang.
And you know what? It doesn't even matter if you hear it. The vibration is there.
Yeah, exactly.
Something's happening. We don't need this mind is so limited in comparative reality to a whole experience of everything. I mean, this is like a limitation. It's like a small little box we try to put things in. So just feel it. Feel it. Here, there was something.
Unlike some musty facilitated practice, there was just this beautiful flow, maybe because it was almost monotone in its power. I just felt this flowing, relaxing, beautiful. And then I ended up being really energized.
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel it, I can feel the rising.
The uplifting.
The lilting of the sound alone.
Beautiful.
Could I ask a quick question, please? You had gone through the breaths,
mm-hmm.
and like water is emotion, and fire is passion. What was earth?
Earth is our body, the physical body.
Oh.
Yeah. And there is really, you know, if you're not aware of that website by Perron Bear, and it's easy, it's Hazrat-Anayat-Khan.org. It's amazing. I mean, he's quite a whiz with database magic. And there's a word search that you can do there. And you can look for elements. Just do elements. And then everything that Anayat Khan has said comes up because he gives extensive teachings again and again on different aspects of this. So he goes into real detail about, you know, the lymphatic system and the flesh, and then he goes into the, you know, touch is one element, breath is an element, taste is an element. I mean, he goes into it. He has a very detailed and beautiful teaching. I mean, you know, he was really a master of the elements. Of course he would be. I mean, he was a raga master, and that's invocation of elements, you know, so he understood that elemental world. But that's a beautiful, something beautiful to study. Maybe I'll bring that to camp one time. Any other comments or questions?
Could you repeat that website?
It's Hazrat Anayat Khan, but there's a hyphen in between each name.
Okay. Thank you.
And if you go to the things that I publish,
mm-hmm.
I reference that in all the outlines. It's a clickable link to all of the message volumes, so you can go in there. And I will say you can enter it as a user, but then you can also sign up. And, you know, I think it's good to sign up. I Perron's a friend of mine, and, you know, we talk about that. That way he can kind of see organizationally who people are and what they're entering. And he has everything there. So there are a lot of unpublished papers that are for different levels of initiation. So because he and I know each other, I can communicate very easily if I wish someone to have something that's hidden from public view. And he can, if you're in the database, he can give you access. So there's a good reason to sign up for that, too. And I'm connected. I can hook you up. Okay. On with the teaching from Murshid's message, volume 8. One may ask, is pain always an evil thing? And I would answer them, far from it. Sometimes pain comes to us as a kindly warning. It is the moving finger pointing to us and bidding us to give heed to our ways, to take account of our doings. There are different kinds of pain. Pain of the body, which is often hard to bear. Pain of the mind, which is far worse. And pain of the heart. The deepest part of man's being, which may be agony. Yet the cry of agony, which comes from the depth of the heart, may be the sound of the greatest beauty. For pain has its beautiful aspects, I mean, haven't you heard that? He'll go on to talk about it, but for sure in certain pieces of music, can't you hear that? Just like that beautiful poem by Rumi, you know, the reed being torn from the reed bed and that longing to return home, which is, of course, ultimately what we're all trying to do. We just do it with different things and different people, don't we? Different situations, circumstances, places, things, but ultimately it's that that we're searching for. And where is that? I love that image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, you know. Think of the pain expressed in the most perfect music, the finest poetry. There are moments when intense feeling, when pain and joy meet. Isn't it true? You all know it. I'm like preaching to the choir here. What am I doing? It's just so, it's so sublime.
Exquisite.
Exquisite is a good word. Yeah. There are moments of intense feeling when pain and joy meet, and we cannot distinguish where one ends and the other begins. They have the meeting place in the heart. Pain is the herb in the hands of the great transmuter, with a capital T. Pain is the herb in the hands of the great transmuter, the divine alchemist. Falling on the melted silver of the heart, it turns into the purest gold. Is that so beautiful? Yeah. Yeah, we need to make up one for that, or maybe it's happening. We don't need to do anything. Just let it be. Pain is the herb in the hands of the great transmuter, capital T, the divine alchemist, capital A. Falling into the melted on the melted silver of the heart, it turns it to the purest gold and renders the heart more fitting to be the altar of God. We can go home now.
Yeah, you can read it over and over again.
Yeah, no, it is so beautiful. And that's how an icon is. You know, sometimes you can just take one line, and really that's how it's to be absorbed, not read, you know, like a novel or, you know, it's just, that is such a beautiful line and a beautiful thought. And, you know, when you, well, I'll speak for myself, you know, when I reached my darkest moments, I know Mercia totally understands. I'm not alone. And I realize that it's, that something's being done or being undone. And, you know, something beautiful's occurring. I just have to be a witness to it and be patient with it and endure. You know, endurance is one of those, one of the six perfections, isn't it? Patience is another one. All of those things are required. We get in a hurry. But if we let the work happen, you know, the cook is doing, making a fine dish out of us, so to speak. Like that chickpea story with the shake hitting the chickpea back into the pot. I'm not done with you yet. Cook some more. And you read Rumi and you know he understands. And there's a great companionship and a great comfort to know we're not alone in that. And they almost offer us, they're there like this or that. You know, they're showing us the way. Yes.
And Jesus.
And Jesus. And Jesus and I, you know, I think of it, I have to say every day, if for a moment you can, and, you know, it's an excruciating agony and it's a beauty at the same time, thinking of what that must have felt like to be nailed to the cross and hung in that way. And what did he say? Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. And we have to forgive ourselves in that way and make a commitment to do better. And when others do something to us that hurts us, we have to remember that. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do.
Maria.
Yes.
I'm struck with the question of when we want to act in order to save people we love from their pain.
Mm-hmm. You know,
when we know that there's something being cooked in them too.
Yeah, there's absolutely, and you all know that story. It's a great little story about the butterfly and the cocoon and the person that had such great compassion for that butterfly struggling in the cocoon. So they decided they'd help to open the cocoon, and then the butterfly couldn't fly away because it didn't grow strong from that struggle. It's a really good story.
So love of someone in pain is perhaps not acting.
It's bearing witness.
Bearing, enduring also.
And sometimes, you know, it's a point of view to understand that you know, it's a mindfulness to really know when to act and when to not, to just bear witness. I think that it can be a little egoistic if we think we know what that person might need. But if we can support them and honor what they're going through. And I find that usually it's best just to say, is there something that you need from me now? Instead of thinking I need to change it or fix it. I really appreciate you bringing that up. I think it's quite important. And I think that, you know, that saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Yeah.
Well, I think, to me, just the ability to listen to people that are going through all kinds of crap. I just say, you can call me. And you listen, you don't judge at all. And when they're done, you're going to have to use your own better angels and your own judgment for this, but I'll certainly be here, I'll sit with you, but I'm not sure I can tell you what to do.
Right. Yeah.
You know, kind of thing.
Yes, that's
well,
right.
Going back to
Tim.
That feeling of the pain when you're in that deep pain is, you know, we feel like we're so cut off from God, but it's never the ultimate being that cuts us off as we cut ourselves off from that, and so we don't feel any of the connection, and we just feel that pain, and you're talking a minute ago about Christ on the cross, and I think when he said, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me, he was giving voice to that very feeling that we all feel at some time.
Yeah. 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 I mean, faith is amazing. What people can endure with faith, yes? I've said it before, you know, but they say that the people that expired in the concentration camps were the ones that had lost their faith. They couldn't endure it. Anyway, there's more here that Mercia teaches us about that. Shall we listen? Shall I go back one more sentence to that?
Beautiful.
Yeah, the beautiful sentence. Pain is like the herb in the hands of the great transmuter, the divine alchemist. Falling on the melted silver of the heart, it turns it into the purest gold and renders the heart more fitting to be the altar of God. Who are those to whom people go for sympathy when they are troubled? surely to those who have suffered much, those who have gone through great tribulation, have overcome and learned by experience that true happiness comes from within and is independent of outward circumstances. I mean, you know yourself. You're the one that can give the medicine to help people go through some things that you've gone through. But if someone hasn't gone through that, that advice is useless. It's just lip service. And so take every suffering, every injustice, everything that's happened as an opportunity for you to become a teacher and help someone through that very circumstance. Because it's only that you have experience and that you've been able to rise above it or assimilate it. You know, it's like I love the stories of, you know, the peacock eats the poison, and it's because of that that it has that beautiful plumage, for goodness sake. And Shiva, too, transmutes the cup of poison. Right? We're transmuters, capital T. We're alchemists, capital A. We let those experiences work on us, strengthen our character, which is, you know, I think some of my favorite teachings of Anayat Khan is this, the art of personality and character building. But those experiences strengthen us. They build our character. They make us something if we don't let it destroy us. Who are those to whom God go for, excuse me, God goes for sympathy? What an interesting thought. God probably needs sympathy too. Who are those to whom people go for sympathy when they are troubled? Surely to those who have suffered much. Those who, having gone through great tribulation, have overcome and have learned by experience that true happiness comes from within and is independent of outward circumstances. True independence and indifference. They can feel not only for others, but with others. I think it's that with others and not just for them. And I think sometimes when we see someone in pain, it touches that pain in us. And we want to change it or fix it or help someone get over it because it's touching something in us that we want to touch or fix or get over. We recognize it. We feel it. But again, witness, be witness and support the healing or the transmutation that the other is going through, and then witness our own as well. So these great beings that understand this true happiness, they can feel not only for others, but with others, and out of the depth of their own experience, teach them how to find courage and faith and hope. Courage and faith and hope. Right? Miracles can happen. You don't even know how it's going to happen, but it all changes in a moment. And all of a sudden, it's different. But the trick is not this happy, sad thing. Oh, yippee, everything's going great. Oh, no, everything's going bad. I'm happy, I'm sad. You know, it's like, wow, that's a real roller coaster, right? They can help them to bind up their wounds and heal their broken hearts, these great beings. I mean, haven't you come face to, oh, God, I hope you have. You know, like someone that you just resonate with or you really respect or you know is just a great being of love, great teacher, you know, whatever. You know, maybe it's a place. I don't know. Maybe it's something in nature. It could be an animal. But the whole point is it's like all of a sudden it just seems right and it doesn't, all of that seems to, there aren't even any more questions, not alone answers. Do you ever come to that? Have you ever felt that? It's so beautiful. If suffering can develop in us the blessed gift of sympathy, then surely we have not suffered in vain. We may well thank God for every pang which we have endured. If suffering can develop in us the greatest gift of sympathy, then surely we have not suffered in vain. We may well thank God for every pang which we've endured. I'm going to take a break now because I have no idea. Does someone have a handle on the schedule? Do we have just about 10 more minutes? Here, I thought, I kind of wavered. I've been wavering on this practice. It's like I had one practice in mind, and then I thought, no, this other one, and no, maybe this other one. And can we just sit for a moment and let's see what arises with the group, like what might be called for in terms of a practice? I mean, I have a couple ideas, and so but if we sit here and we resonate, maybe it will be evident which one we need to utilize. Let's go back. We'll do a short version of the Rafi. Ya Rafi. And then we'll do another practice to conclude. Okay? Of course. We're just going to do 11, 11, and 11. Ya Rafi. Ya Rafi, 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 Ya Rafi. And now we whisper, Rafi, 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 Rafi. And take a moment. I want to share with you how Murshida Vira gave to do this on the breath. She would say, you can exhale while saying and inhale. So let's listen, Rafi, 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 Rafi. Now silent. Feels like the wazifa to do next and to conclude with is, it's a beautiful, beautiful pairing of two sacred names. One is Alim. Alim. Alim is the all-knowing. Okay. and Hakim. Hakim. We could say, well, what would you say of Hakim, Hakima?
Would be the knower, maybe.
The knower, the wise one. But in this wisdom, there's like this ultimate wisdom that offers great healing. So great insight and the healing wisdom that comes through. Okay, so you can see how it perhaps relates to this teaching of today and some of the things that we discussed. And this one, we get to linger a little bit on the E sound, okay? And in both instances, it's kind of a rising and a falling. So we'll do a short version, just give you a little taste. But here's the thing. You might not think anything's happening, but wait and see. It's all happening. It's like the cells are starting to do it. And it'll keep happening. And it might be happening in your dreams or in connections that you find. And so just have faith. Yali. Your eyes here, like you're looking up, and let this go onto the feel the vibration, see what's happening. Okay, it's enlivening something. Continue.
Yali.
But on the inhalation, say, Ali. And on the exhalation, Ali. 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 anything resonated today, these practices, take them as your own. You might want to confer with your initiator if they're in concert with the practices you're doing. But Rafi, the one that uplifts us, the one that gives us exaltation, not excitation, exaltation. Not sensation, exaltation. And Aline, this divine knower and Hakim, through the wisdom, through this great divine wisdom, heals and understands everything. O thou, who art the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, Lord of heaven and earth, open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us thy great goodness. Teach us thy loving forgiveness. Raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide. Send us the peace of thy divine spirit and unite us all in thy perfect being. Amen.